So it's an absolute pleasure to say this, but I'm joined backstage with Kelly Jones from the Stereophonics.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
I know you've only recently just got off the bus from Cheltenham. Yeah. How was last night's gig?
It was all right, yeah. I don't think they've had many gigs in Cheltenham, so I think I think everybody in the town came and wasn't sure what to do. But yeah, we took the music to the people last night, yeah.
That's always a good experience. Well, how's the tour been going so far? Been getting good reception with the new album?
Yeah, it's been great. We're doing about, well, pretty much the whole record and catalogue as well. We've done some European shows as well, but it's been brilliant actually. I've had a good beginnings to the world domination. Yeah, it's been good.
Well, I was going to ask about choosing set lists, because I tried making up my ideal set list of Stereophonics, and I kind of gave up after about 30 songs. So I was like, yeah, you ain't going to be able to play all these. So how would you go about choosing set lists? Because you've got so many hits to choose from.
It's a lovely position to be in, having 8 albums. We try to vary it every night as much as we can. This particular tour obviously is more focused on the new record, but we're doing about 12 or 13, you know, kind of classic, so to speak, Stereophonic songs as well. So yeah, there's key ones that never change, you know. There's always Thousand Trees, always Local Boy in the Photograph, Dakota, maybe Tomorrow, but just try to keep the band fresh and mix it up every night, you know.
Yeah, well, that's good. And also you said you're on your 8th album. I mean, that's quite extraordinary, and it's one of your best, one of your finest to date, I think.
Yeah, I'm proud of the record. People have been responding to it really good. 8 albums, I don't know where the time's gone, but it's been a great journey. Lucky the people are still coming to the shows. You know, it's a very young audience in Leeds the other night. People obviously just found Indian Summer, some 15-year-old girls and stuff. So it's nice that the music is relevant with today's pop market as well. So, you know, that's all you can do, really.
Yeah,
try to keep it going.
Saying about that, I think I first heard your very first album when I was about 8.
Right.
That kind of puts it into perspective.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think the front row in Leeds couldn't have been born when the first album came out, actually. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It's good, yeah.
So do you find the audiences are quite mixed then?
Very mixed, yeah. I mean, Stereophonics audience always has been really. It's probably 50-50 male-female. And it spans anything from about 14 to about 50, 55. It's quite bizarre.
There's not many bands that can achieve that.
It's weird, you know, when we first started, we were on tour with bands like Skunk Anansie, The Who, Manic Street Preachers. So, you know, we could be on the front of Kerrang! Magazine and on the front of Smash Hits. It was, and everything in between, so
it's a bizarre place to
be. Yeah, music kind of mixes up, I guess.
So what do you think, like, the key to your success is? Because there's not many bands that have been around for as long as you guys, releasing 8 albums and still be, you know, Graffiti on the Train is number 3 in the charts. I mean,
yeah,
there's not many people who can maintain that level of success.
Well, I think, you know, just putting the work in, we have a good time. We all get on really well. I guess it's the songs, really. You just have to keep writing the songs that people, you know, can feel as much as we feel when we're making them. And you have to put a lot of work in to keep any business going for as much as that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to call it that. But I guess just work hard, play hard, really.
I was going to ask, where did the album title come from, Graffiti on the Train?
It happened, there was an incident that kept happening in my house. I kept hearing these footsteps on my roof, and I thought it was people trying to break in my house. And one night I shouted out, and these kids said, they're not trying to break in my house, they're trying to get to the train track behind my house to graffiti the train.
Ah.
And it kind of stuck with me, and then I started making up stories about why you would risk so much to make your mark on something. So, that's where it came from.
Oh, that's cool. How easy was the album to write? Because I know, for me, it sounds a little bit more personal than previous albums. And, you know, has that been easy for you to come across?
I think every album we've approached in different ways. This album, I was writing a film screenplay at the same time as the music, which was inspired by that event that I just spoke about. And so a lot of the music was kind of becoming a soundtrack to the story, really. So, a lot of personal experiences within those characters, you know. But it was just the first time we ever had our own studio, so we didn't go on tour for a year, which was the first time in 16 years.
Quite a long time then.
Yeah, and just went into the studio, made up stories, I made up songs, and it was great. It was a good year. Yeah.
Is it almost in the way of like Quadrophenia style?
I'd like it to be when it's finished. We're starting to submit our script now to get financing, so hopefully get the film under go. And there's another 10 songs which we're probably going to release next year. So we finished 2 albums really, but we're really only releasing one at a time.
If you could sum up the Stereophonics in one song, which one would you pick?
Probably Dakota. I think it's got a kind of rock and roll energy, it's got a lot of nostalgia, it's got a story, everybody sings it. Yeah, that's kind of
it's definitely treated you well.
It's treated us well, yeah. It's one that I wrote very, very quickly, you know, like less than an hour, and every night it surprises me what it does to a room. If I knew what that ingredient was, I would do it. it's a bit of magic, that one.
Yeah. Well, you said about, you know, you've got the film script. I noticed you've directed a couple of the videos. Mm. Also, you co-produced the album. Are these sort of, like, areas that you've considered maybe, you know, looking further into in the future?
Yeah, I've always written the videos. I've always, you know, I went to film school, so I've always had a love for film and music. And directing is just, to me, another form of storytelling, which is what I like doing. And I think I produced the first record in 2003 with You Gotta Go, That's Come Back. And I've always worked with Jim Lowe. He was a great engineer and we worked really well together. So, yeah, just like two men in a room not talking to each other making music. It's kind of its own language, you know. So,
but it seems to work.
It does work, yeah.
Don't break what's not fixed.
Exactly.
Well, before you go on stage, do you have like any superstitions that you go with?
Not really, no. I think we do the sound check about 4 o'clock and then we hang around forever. It seems to be... seems to last longer and longer, but now maybe have a little jam before we go on if we can. A few guitars in the dressing room, maybe a drink or two, and then on we go. Yeah.
That always settles the nerves. Well, yeah. Do you still get nervous after all these years?
Yeah, you get nervous playing new material and you get, you know, it's not so much nerves, it's the hanging around really, it's the anticipation. Once you're on stage, you feel good, but the waiting is always a bit.
Once you get those cheering crowds.
Yeah, well, once you just get on and do the thing that you do. But the hanging about can be a bit tedious sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I noticed last year you were at the Isle of Wight Festival, but not the Seraphonics, but you were. Do you get much time to yourself to go to, like, festivals and things?
No, I did the Isle of Wight last year, which was great, and I did, I think, Oxygen a couple of years before, which was good. But no, not often. I normally grab 10 minutes to see a band somewhere if I'm on the road, but we don't often have time to go out there and just be a punter. But it's always good because you always get a really good pass to walk about everywhere and you get lots of drinks. So. Yeah, I did it in Reading Festival once for 3 days. Yeah, it can be good that when you haven't got the pressure of having to go on and play.
Yeah, just enjoy
now
yourself.
Now I know everybody's in such a state they're in because I'd never been to a festival without playing in one.
Yeah.
So I've been doing them since I was 21, so I never actually got to just go to one. So
just enjoy it, let your hair down.
Yeah. I thought it was good. I like Tom Petty, he's great, and Pearl Jam, it was good.
Festivals is the greatest experience.
Yeah.
So do you get much, like, when you're actually, you know, if you're playing a festival, is it kind of like you show up, you play, and then you have to leave again? Do you get much?
Well, it depends. A lot of these festivals are like leapfrog nights, and like V Fest, we do one night, then you got to go to the next one. But no, you do enjoy the experience. I mean, you know, we've been lucky enough to headline most of them, and, you know, Glastonbury and Reading and V and all that stuff. So yeah, it's good. It's just go out there and do your biggest songs and get everybody singing and dancing, really.
Because once you get that crowd interaction, that must be an amazing feeling.
Yeah, I quite like going on as special guests as well. I like going on before bands like the Kings of Leon and stuff like that and finishing with Dakota and things like that. And, you know, it gives you a bit of a cheeky smile saying, you know,
try and beat that.
Follow that one. But they do, with Sex on Fire. But, yeah.
When I told my friends that I was doing this interview, so many people got very jealous, and a lot of people admitted their love, undying love for you. But
that's nice.
Have you ever had a really strange gift from a fan?
A strange gift. I've had a few drawings and things, and people having me sign their arm, and then they tattoo over it and stuff, and they have a tattoo of my face on their arms and things like that, which is a bit strange. But yeah, I mean, if it looks good, it looks good. It's on my arm.
True.
Yeah.
Well, you've got this tour, which sold out in 30 minutes, which is just insane. And the tour went on sale today for the arenas.
Yeah, we just found out it's doing really well, actually. I think
Leeds has already sold out when I looked this morning.
Yeah, I think we've sold like 60,000 tickets by 12 o'clock today. So I don't know how many we've sold now, but they're just telling me now. So
it's not bad going, is it?
Well, it's a relief. People are still going to buy those tickets, yeah.
Do you feel a bit of pressure when, like, you got to announce the O2?
You're a little bit nervous, but I think the album started off so well. Indian Summer's done it, really, you know, got into people's minds from the radio, and we've had a few lucky breaks getting on some major TV shows and stuff like that. So, you know, we haven't done stuff like Jonathan Ross in all for like 10 years, so people get to see the song more, and then they go and buy the tickets, so it's always happy.
That's it. I just want to say a huge thank you for doing this. It's been an absolute pleasure to meet you. Thank you very much.